Well, today we are here observing the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I'm gonna fast forward to our current time instead of we got the history of the days of Unleavened Bread and the Israelites coming out of Egypt. So I'm gonna fast forward to our time. Today we're observing the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the first of God's holy days in His plan for salvation of mankind. This was preceded the night before last at sundown by the observance of Passover with the washing of feet, partaking of the symbols of the bread and the wine representing the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Then following this, he was betrayed, crucified, dying, so our sins might be forgiven and raised on the third day, so that we may be raised to eternal life in his kingdom. This is a time of reflection in our lives, to look into our personal lives, to flush out any sins that can so easily ensnare us on a daily basis, not just once a year, but every day. If confused, just take a look back and see if you can find or remember a day that you or I have or did not sin in deed or action. I'm not saying that it couldn't happen, but most times sin starts in the mind. If we recognize it before it ripens, all the better. This is a constant battle. For part of today's message, I'll be paraphrasing from the UCG booklet, God's Holy Day Plan, the Promise of Hope, Hope for All Mankind, and we have copies back on the library table. We spent the last previous few days, or even weeks, in removing leaven from our homes, our cars, our workspaces as best we can. But rest assured, it is not all gone. We can look back to see how we are doing compared to this time last year, or a month ago, and expect to see great strides in our conversion. This is still more to do. But there's still more to do to become that mature, perfect being God is looking for. Just as the dust and the crumbs, if you want a title for the message, it's called Working to Perfection. Just as the dust and the crumbs we find under our couch cushions, in the microwave, or the toaster, at first glance, they may not even seem to be noticeable. So there goes our sins. If not repented of, they just simply multiply and build up to the point of consuming our whole being, just the same as a small amount of leaven will eventually permeate a whole lump of dough. At first glance, the dough may look like only a piece of gooey mess. That's usually what it starts out when I try to make it. Gooey mess of flour and water, yet underneath that layer, the outer layer of dough, the yeast or the leaven, is going to go through a chemical change that will cause the dough to rise. It is not something just on the outside that you can just brush off, because it is under the crust, basically hidden out of sight. Most of our sins are hidden out of sight. Our sins are also more than just skin deep and must be rooted out. These days of unleavened bread are all about coming out of the bondage or slavery of sin. Just as the children of Israel was rescued from slavery of the Egyptian bondage. Our rescue is physical in nature. Our rescue from sin, their rescue was physical. Our rescue is spiritual. We must go through a spiritual change, just as leaven and dough is not just skin deep or can just be brushed off. Neither is sin just skin deep, though some sins are more obvious than others. We still must spiritually lift the cushions of our minds, vacuum out the wrong thoughts and the actions that are so pervasive in our lives. The days of unleavened bread follow immediately on the heels of Passover for a reason. Jesus Christ died at Passover and was raised during the days of unleavened bread as a reminder what he said he would do. He would die and be buried in the earth for 10 days and nights and be raised as proof of the validity of his divinity. He died that our sins could be forgiven and was raised that we can be resurrected at his return to eternal life, which he had already attained. This is proof of what he told the scribes and the Pharisees. Just turn, if you would, please turn with me to Matthew 12. We'll read verses 38 through 40 about what was about to happen when they asked for a sign. Verse 38 in Matthew 12. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he, Christ, answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. We'll continue in verse, but it doesn't end here. When we are called by God through Jesus Christ, we are led to repentance, followed by being baptized, representing being buried with Christ, burying the old man or the old self, and being raised in newness of life as a new creation, with Jesus Christ living in us. Then begins our journey of conversion with the help of God's Holy Spirit, which the next holy day in God's plan of salvation, Pentecost, represents. God has a plan that starts out small and grows eventually the kingdom of God. Sin starts out small, like a 4:11, through the thoughts that are transmitted to us by Satan, the prince of the power of the air, to the point that it will, if unchecked, take over our whole being. Just like that leaven will take over the whole part of the dough. It'll take over our whole being through the influence of Satan, the one who deceives the whole world, as Revelation 12:9. The prince of the power of the air would not have made a lot of sense to most people before the invent of radio that uses frequency waves to transmit messages came into being. Now that we are aware, and sometimes too in tune, to this mode of messaging, it makes total sense. Let's go to Matthew 13, verses 31 to 33. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air can nest in its branches. Another parable he mentions in verse 33, The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. The leaven of sin also starts out small, but can and will grow. Garbage in, garbage out, so to speak. In other words, sin in, sin out. In a play on words, what we sow, that we reap. Put another way, when we act upon those thoughts that we have been sown in our minds by Satan, sin is produced and reaped. Sometimes it brings weeping, too. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is a reminder that we need to be constantly vigilant in nipping in the bud those pervasive thoughts before they're acted upon and become a full-blown sins. Today, removing leaven from our homes and lives for 7 days reminds us that we too, through prayer and God's help and understanding, must recognize and expel and avoid sin. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is thus a time of personal reflection. We should meditate on our attitudes, our conduct, and ask God to help us recognize and overcome our shortcomings. How do we rid ourselves of sin in our lives? First, we must know what sin is. Sin is the transgression of the law, God's law. If it were not for the law, we wouldn't know what sin was. We learn by doing. We learn spiritual lessons by doing physical things. Performing the task of delivering our homes reminds us to vigilantly watch for the sinful thoughts and actions so that we can avoid them. God knows that in spite of our good intentions, we all sin. I ask later, how do we rid ourselves of sins? We'll find out later. We're told in Leviticus 23, verse 6 through 8. Let me turn there, please. It says, on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. To the Lord, 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day is a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation, which we're having today, which would have been, will be next Monday, and you shall do no customary work on it. We find references to these holy days also in Exodus 34, Deuteronomy 16 in the Old Testament, where they are to be kept annually on their appointed day. So now let's go to the New Testament to prove this was not just some Old Testament ritual that was done away with at the time Jesus was crucified, but rather observed long after his death. Let's go to Matthew 26. If you would please, and with me. I'm going to read verse 17. Now, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover." We turn with also a record is in Mark 14, verses 12 through 15. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, when they had killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover? And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go unto the city, and a man you will meet carrying a pitcher of water, follow him. And wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared there to make ready for us." Everything was planned. Nothing is left to our personal interpretation there. We'll use these scriptures as a backdrop for the rest of today's message. My point is not to just prove that the days of unleavened bread were kept by Jesus Christ and his disciples later after his death, but rather we are still observing them today, right now, here in this congregation. That's why we're here. Find out what its meaning is and the effect on each and every one of us in this room. If we turn to 1 Corinthians 5. Beginning in verse 7. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may become a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Verse 8, therefore, no, I already read that. Now let's go back to the verse 1 and pick up the reasoning for Paul's admonition here. Actually, it's actually reported there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles or the rest of the world, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he has done this deed, might be taken out from you. For I indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present with him, who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, and with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens a whole lump? Remembering that leaven represents sin, is just like ant poison we use to kill ants. We may sprinkle it around the opening of where the ants come in, put around their nest, or in their, and sometimes you'll sprinkle it around the edges of your windows to get rid of them. And they'll carry it back to their nest, which kills the other ants. Just like the ant poison doesn't kill just one ant that picked it up, it'll be shared with many, maybe all of them. The other ants, so the leaven of sin goes forth, permeating every fiber of the people. It can permeate a complete congregation if it's allowed to do that. But until, though the ants are not capable of knowing how to eradicate poison, we have Christ's own instruction on how to get rid of sin, the poison of sin. Having already read verses 7 and 8, part of the instructions, now let us drop down to verse 9. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people, yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or the covetous, or the extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out into the world. But I now have written you to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother, and anyone within a congregation who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. That's pretty strong language there. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? but those who are outside God judges. Therefore, put away yourselves the evil person. This past week, from the Passover observance to this present moment, has been our time of reflection. Therefore, put away from yourselves, or ourselves, evil person, person we were, are still struggling with. In other words, we're getting rid of that person, just like the person was in the congregation. We're getting rid of our person, our sinful person, because of God's Holy Spirit working in us. As we travel through this week, we have the opportunity to seek out the leaven of sin, or the sin in our lives. How are we doing? Will we get caught with a half-eaten donut? You know, donuts are only brought out once a year, to share once a year by someone during the days of unleavened bread. Or so it seems. I've had that happen to me, I don't know how many times. Or that small package of crackers. I believe Mr. Martin's talked about that. Small package of crackers that came with the soup that you had last month. And you stuck it in your pocket. Think, I'll eat this later for a snack. Guess what? You forgot and didn't do it. But it comes popping out at the most inopportune times. It's never when you can just find it by yourself. It's always in public. You know, somebody needs a pen and you reach in your pocket to pull out the pen and you pull out the crackers. How will we grow in our endeavor to change from this time last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, or from the time that we were baptized? I feel sure if we look, or I look back, we'll see more improvement than we realize, remembering that these changes are a matter of process. They don't just happen once at baptism. The change is a matter of process in our conversion and doesn't take place just at baptism. If it were only that easy, then we wish it was all that easy. It would change forever and you'd have to do it again. But remember, this time of reflection and examination and self-analysis does not and cannot stop at sundown next Monday evening. It's a constant and narrow path we must take in order to inherit the kingdom of God with our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are not to look back at our sins, except to remind us that we have been forgiven by the sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and that we don't touch them, the sin or the poison, again. God's word is very simple to us. We're the ones who make it difficult. We have been called to be a part in the preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. We're told in Luke 9:62. Let's go ahead and turn there. But Jesus said to them, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Well, why? Just like the farmer plowing the field or someone mowing your grass, if you look back, you're going to get off track. You get down to the end of that road and you look back and the screw's going to be all crooked. Should you continue to the end of the row and you can become completely off track, we must stay focused at all times on the kingdom of God. Or just like the plowman, should we keep looking back, we can become disoriented and allow the leaven of sin to poison us to death. Though we make things complicated because of our humanity, God makes our journey to his kingdom focus straight and narrow. And simply put, I'm going to give you 4 points to consider here in order to overcome these sins, get rid of this leaven. Number one is to study. 2 Timothy 12, I'm just going to read this. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 12:12. So into point number one. And 12 to 14. And further, my son, be admonished by these, of making books there is no end. Much study is wearisome to the flesh. Well, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, though. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. We need to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Turn if you turn there, please. It says, pray without ceasing. And let's drop down to verse 21. Test all things, hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And if we turn with me to 1 Peter 4, we're going to read verse 7 through 9. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another and without grumbling. The Israelites grumbled. They grumbled a whole lot. I think everything that God did for them, they seemed to always want to grumble about it. How many times do we think that we can do something better than he does? Hebrews 4, verses 16, I will refer to this another time later in the message. Then we need to fast, to draw closer to God, to seek his will, not our own. We are to be living sacrifices. Romans 12, verse 1, I'll read that, and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then we need point number four, we need to counsel. Don't be afraid to ask for help when you're having a difficult time with a spiritual issue. That could be deadly. That could be the poison. We have a very compassionate high priest, Jesus Christ, and one of his names is Counselor. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7, and the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. It's going to be a wonderful thing. And remembering this, then, we are told in Hebrews 4, verse 4, so Hebrews 4, verse 14, I have this all messed up here. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, or our profession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without a sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. Bear with me just a minute. My notes out of. I hope that by using the above points will help us all to be continually throughout the year become more unleavened. Just like a frying pan that's left in the sink with hot water and it allows the grease, representing leaven and sin, to come to the surface, let us practice the points given and allow God's Holy Spirit in us to work like putting a drop of Dawn detergent. Most of you women know what I'm talking about. Get the grease coming up at the top of the pan. You put a little drop in there. What's it do? It goes away. In the water, and watch the grease and the leaven disperse. In closing, I have another one and final scripture when asking for God's help. Turn with me, if you would. And it's one of those scriptures we should probably have in our brain where we can't forget it. Turn with me to Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We do this one day at a time. Keeping this comforting thought, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Yes, there will be other sins to be fleshed out. But we must keep practicing until we get it right, with Jesus Christ working in us. And always pray, your kingdom come and your will be done.